Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the American Public Health Association, I would like to welcome you to session 1001.0, Who Will Keep the Public Healthy? Building the 21st Century Workforce for Public Health. It has been almost a decade since the Institute of Medicine report entitled, well, Who Will Keep the Public Healthy? That report highlighted the challenge of the mismatch between the public health workforce, both current and future, and the work of public health, and made recommendations to assure the development of the public health professional workforce to provide essential public health services. Whether it is describing the essential work of public health, attracting and preparing the incoming workforce, or developing and maintaining the advanced skills of incumbent public health professionals, there is work being done and work that remains to do. My name is Tom Quaid. I'm your moderator for this session, and as the Deputy Health Commissioner responsible for quality assurance of a mid-sized health district with a workforce of about 250 public health professionals, I share your eagerness to get this presentation started and to hear from our esteemed panelists. Each of our panelists will present for approximately 20 minutes. At the conclusion of the prepared material, they will be happy to engage in dialogue with you for the balance of our time together, and this session is still scheduled to conclude at 5 p.m. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce our first panelist. Dr. Denise Koo is a director of the Scientific Education and Professional Development Program Office of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Koo will frame our conversation today about the factors that affect public health workforce within four domains, and will describe the CDC's Public Health Workforce Development Initiative. Dr. Koo, the floor is yours. Thank you.
Thanks. Good afternoon. Let's see. So here's an outline of what I'm actually going to do within the context of what was just said. I'm going to review our office, the Scientific Education and Professional Development Program Office, five major categories of activities, outline findings from our Workforce Development Initiative, and put it in this context of this fishbone diagram, and then describe our actions taken to date. And I think I'm starting with the description of our five major categories of activities just because this is a relatively new office. The SEPDPO is part of the cluster of offices that is the Office of Surveillance, Epidemiology, and Laboratory Services, which is one of the cross-cutting clusters of offices at the CDC. There's surveillance, there's epidemiology, laboratory, informatics, and then scientific education and professional development program office. So the major categories of activities that we do are A, recruiting new talent into public health and training them in new disciplines, training the existing public health workforce. We have the responsibility for the academic partnerships. We provide service and technical assistance, and we're developing a workforce strategy. Most of the resources that we have, and this is a bit of a challenge here, are devoted to recruiting new talent into public health. This is not that this is not a valuable activity. It's just sort of like the workforce, the health impact pyramid of top credence. It's sort of at the top of the pyramid. It reaches the fewest people, but it gives them a very in-depth experience and a very deep experience in public health, so they are prepared. We have these service and learning fellowships, and these are not just the ones that we run, but other fellowships across the agency, and we've made a one-stop shop fellowships website, so you can see that we recruit and train people in a variety of applied public health sciences, public health policy management, and leadership, with a total of 292 fellows assigned to state and local public health agencies, for example. We also have a career path to public health program that engages young students, K through 12, 12 through 16, to promote public health careers for the next generation. In this day and age, we really feel that deep experience that they get through the fellowships is needed more than ever. We have these 2 or 3 year training programs that are similar to the medical residency model, but unique within public health. While there are over 8,000 residencies to train physicians, and I'm a physician, there's really only a handful that trains the public health workforce. We need them more than ever, and yet it's very expensive. The fellows provide service, though, while they are learning on the job, and our graduates are prepared for careers in public health. At least 75% of our graduates obtain jobs in public health upon completion, and leaders around the country and at CDC are graduates of our fellowship programs. This is a quick overview of the fellowships that we have. And again, if you go to the fellowships website, you'll see other programs in addition. Most of the programs on this listing and this slide are in my program office, but there are a couple other. One of the Public Health Associates program is not in our office, and the EID and the CSD fellowships are run by some of our partners. But it just again, we have fellowships in various disciplines because there's a breadth of disciplines in public health, but we don't have fellowships in every discipline that is necessary in public health. And part of the challenge, though, is that, as somebody said to me, you, CDC, need to walk the talk of public health. You need to think about moving from the balance of one-on-one workforce development, just like one-on-one patient care, right, to a population-based approach to workforce development. Very challenging when most of my budget is tied up in what I already described, the fellowships, because they are quite expensive, and yet we need to do more to train the existing workforce. So we have, over the last couple of years, really embarked on the CDC Learning Connection, which is a one-stop shop for online and e-learning products. Again, cdc.gov/learning. And as part of the Learning Connection, which is the one-stop shop, so you don't have to know about CDC CIOs and organizations, as well as we try to link to outside partners who tell us about their products. We have developed a CDC train aspect of the Public Health Foundation's train, so we're building off their learning management system so that you will have a searchable database, and we will have learning plans on this searchable database of learnings. And we hope that this will be useful also for the public health accreditation workforce development efforts. We do continuing education accreditation. We're the only HHS agency that accredits in six different disciplines, again, reflecting the diversity of public health. And we have, of course, the training and continuing education online system. A couple new efforts that we have embarked upon over the last less than a year is developing a core curriculum for the public health sciences, a public health 101 in epi, surveillance, informatics, laboratory prevention effectiveness, hopefully also in the future communications, because while those pieces exist in academic environments, they're usually, you have to take the full course. This is meant to be the short courses that you can access when you have a few minutes of learning. And what we are doing as part of that is also quick learn lessons that will be accessible, for example, from mobile devices. We also redesigned CDC's cooperative agreements with academic partners to have an overarching framework of improving health outcomes, not just a vehicle to get to academia, but actually have a framework that everything should support workforce development. We are strengthening the academic practice linkages by expecting population health and health professionals education, interprofessional education and training, hands-on experience for students with communities, and an expanded fellowship model, assuming we can get resources, for assignments not just at CDC, but also in the field. And we had our usual eligible organizations of ASPH, APTR, and AAMC, but we also added the nursing organization because nurses are such a key component of the public health workforce. Our fellows provide service while learning, as you know, epidemic assistance. We also do info aids, economics aids, both U.S. Domestically and internationally. We have a new supervisor mentor development initiative when we put the information out about that. That will be available on our website so anybody could use it. And we also provide consultation for rigorous development of workforce development approaches. This has been something that a lot of people have found to be very useful, because while most of what I have been talking about in terms of factors affecting the public health workforce are in the upper right-hand part of this document, which is about competencies of workforce, it's about training the workforce, but really to truly impact the workforce in public health, to have it make a difference, to stick, we have to not only think about the competency of workforce and whether we have the competency, enough training, but also the composition and the number of workers. And I know that Henry's going to talk some about our effort with HRSA to do the workforce enumeration. There's also the work environment, as you know, as well as the larger context. Don Berwick just talked about the larger context. We've got some real challenges, of course, given budget and other issues. I thought that it was very also telling that the IOM went from this old depiction of the public health system and describing this as the public health system nearly a decade ago to, in the more recent IOM report, talking about the overall health system. Because, of course, what we would like, and again, Don alluded to, is we don't want a public health system and a healthcare system. What we want is an integrated health system, and public health is a critical piece of that integrated health system. Some of what we have been learning supporting this idea of an integrated health system through our public health workforce development initiative has been where we are trying to seek out input from partners about how, what are the challenges to the public health workforce and how is public health changing. So we wanted to find out what the challenges are, which of course we all know, funding, staffing declines. The emphasis, I think, has been on health care workforce, not necessarily the public health workforce. We are trying to use the term health workforce, but I'm not sure I'm ready to just go out and say health workforce, because if you say health workforce, people automatically think health care workforce. We think around here, we mean the big health workforce, but when I say health workforce, I often say parentheses, public health and health care workforce, for now. Someday we'll change that. So our goal was to really determine our priority activities and the strategy for CDC and to discuss the changes in public health and the impact on the workforce. So we've been engaging partners through a series of meetings and attending partner meetings where we gather further input, and we have a culminating meeting that we plan for December of this year. What we've learned, nothing probably new to you, but through this initiative, that there is an ongoing transformation, a new public health, right? It's community-focused, and maybe this is a message for CDC, as well as state-based, that we can't just focus on our state and local partners. It's the broader issues that we're dealing with, voluminous information from multiple sources, that we need to engage more stakeholders. Don, again, just talked about that. Employers, healthcare systems, integrated healthcare systems. We're navigating new territory given the impact of health reform. We need to develop stronger links to healthcare and health care delivery. And of course, we need more and more monitoring and measuring. We got all this data out there. People are going to be looking at us just like the CIA. Well, how come you didn't know about X? Because there's just so much data. We've got to be able to make sense of it. The core functions of the new public health, what we've heard from the partners, are convening and collaborating, not just doing, improved monitoring of community health status through community engagement and defining shared indicators, leveraging policy change, clear communications, including the use of social networks. Some of the implications, therefore, for the new public health workforce, in quotes, is, of course, the expanded workforce. We need to deal with issues of the multi-generational workforce and non-traditional public health workers. Colleagues in some of the local health departments tell me, you got to do something about getting more policy development, people with policy development skills into the public health workforce. Get those lawyers in. It's not something we have generally focused on. The workforce needs, again, with new public health, collaborative leadership, systems thinkers with a broader definition of public health, community engagement skills, broader partnerships, the liaison role to strengthen the linkages between public health and healthcare, informatics skills keeps coming up over and over again. How do we leverage technology, but still in an evidence-based way to support public health? So, last two slides, I just wanted to emphasize, on the one hand, we are still continuing our individual one-on-one approaches, partially because that's where most of our funding is, partially because it's something OMB can count. They can say, oh, you graduated this many people, and they're going into public health. It's also something that Dr. Frieden has been interested in, more people in the field. So we leveraged our fellowships and we leveraged the prevention and public health funds to increase the available training through the e-learning, but also to support more fellows in the field. Informatics, for the first time, we are placing 9 fellows in the field in informatics, and we had many, many more requests, but for one-year assignments with PPHF dollars. We're keeping more of our graduates in epidemiology, and we've placed them at the intersection of medicine and public health, because that is the future. We need people who can do that boundary spanning, putting more EID lab fellows in the field and more managers. We have an initiative to place experienced informatician in the field, starting with LA County. That's a direct, what they call direct assistance request. We're calling it CINFO. And we're trying to evolve the fellowships in a fashion consistent with the new public health. We're going to try to find ways to put them in more assignments that might be community-based or at the intersection of public health and healthcare, and of course get more of our fellows involved in more informatics projects. But we are also trying to either shift or to at least look for opportunities to have a systems-based approach to workforce development. We are looking and doing this public health workforce enumeration in collaboration with HRSA and academic and practice partners. And again, Henry's decided to talk about that some more. We're trying to get more recognition of public health as a discipline. We actually just completed the first phase of a collaboration with the Department of Labor, where they have designated our Public Health Informatics Fellowship as a Department of Labor registered apprenticeship. It's the first time there's a professional public health fellowship as a registered apprenticeship. Quite frankly, most of their registered apprenticeships are usually associate level. So this is professional level. It's public health. It's the first step towards getting public health or informatician as a standard occupational code. So it could be one of our first public health specific codes that is really hopefully going to be quote, only in public health, because sometimes you otherwise lose the discipline. The informatician gets rolled up into the government when the government says, oh, I'm going to put all my IT people here. If we can have public health informatician, we're hoping to protect that and make it easier for the HR systems to hire a public health informatician, because we clearly need a lot more of those if we're going to deal with meaningful use and accepting all the data coming out of the healthcare system. We're trying to support accreditation and workforce development goals with the new CDC funding opportunity announcement, where we're trying to build in an allowance for cross-cutting workforce development infrastructure, things to support accreditation, regardless of disease-specific names. We are working, we have a vision for an integrated LMS someday where, you know, regardless of where the training sits, one could access it. It's sort of like interoperable surround systems. It'll take a while. We're interested in supporting job aids for the new public health to make it easier for people to know what to do as you try to work with new partners, including the healthcare system. And of course, we will continue to support the integration of public health in the education system. And this is not just health professional education, but the education system as undergraduate public health becomes more and more popular. So, thank you very much.